getting high, high, high,
high. Welcome back, everyone, to Three Guys of the Pod. I'm your host, along with my other two co-hosts, Travis and Cody. Week three of the pod, fellas. How we feeling?
What's up, boys?
Doing okay, man. It's been a crazy week so far, so I got a lot to talk about.
There is.
March is here. Free agency frenzy is kicking off.
It's wild times.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, so let's just jump right in. We'll start with the news and notes for the week. We have two key things we're going to discuss. First, Kyle Van Noy reportedly gets cut to free up over $9 million for the Dolphins. Now, right now, it's looking like we're trying to trade him before cutting him to try to get some draft capital. What does this mean for us, and is it a mistake?
It's too soon to tell if it's a mistake, in my opinion. We're not going to get the complete picture until we've had a chance to sign other people. We've had a chance to see how the draft plays out. But it was surprising. Like, I didn't see it coming. I think we can all say that really no one has any idea what this team is doing. I feel like Flores keeps everything close to his chest, and Chris Greer does the same. So it was definitely a surprise, but I don't know if it's – I think there was a huge reaction on Twitter I saw. I don't know, maybe a little bit of an overreaction. Like, he isn't some, like, super elite player. Like, I liked him a lot. I think he was a good leader for the team. I'm sad for him because I feel like he was just a good spokesperson for the Dolphins. Like, we saw him on some interviews recently. I thought he was just a good fit. But we can certainly upgrade the position. We'll see if we actually do it in free agency. But, it was surprising, but I mean, maybe it shouldn't have been if we should have looked at the contract and saw that there was a pretty easy out for the Dolphins after 1 year, which credit to Greer. I mean, you can criticize them for making the signing in the first place, but at least the contract was set up in a way that really not a lot of harm letting him go after 1 year. I mean, yeah, we're eating $4 million of dead money, but it's cleared up a lot of cap if we want to get active in free agency, want to try to extend any current players. So to be determined if it was a mistake or not, but we'll see. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, it was Travis? It was definitely surprising. I think, like you said with the reaction on Twitter, I think emotions were running high. People were acting like he was Zach Thomas or something. And I love him. I mean, he's a leader, but Flores must have saw something. I mean, we brought him in, we paid him that much money for the first year, and obviously there was something where it was just like, you know, well, I mean, obviously that something is Van Ginkle. You see the snaps, obviously. Van Noy was getting most of the snaps, but I mean, Van Ginkle was getting, you know, he had very good production. So yeah, I mean, we'll see how it is. It definitely sucks because I think, you know, he was, like I said, he was a strong leader and he was a voice in the locker room, and you could tell a lot of fans liked him. But there was definitely, I think, an overreaction too, because we have the money to spend, and like I said, we can use Van Ginkle. We can kind of promote Van Ginkle now, and see if he carries over the production that we saw this past season, and then we have the draft. So obviously, there's a plan set in place. To be determined. We'll see how it works out. I saw him liking some stuff with the Patriots, though, so I'm wondering if he goes back to New England.
Yeah, I don't think he was too happy about
it. He wasn't happy.
But I think the original plan was for us to have him about 2 years and get the defense right, get the culture set, and have him just get everyone ready. But, I mean, our defense was top 10 last year. I don't think Flores saw us gelling together so well already, and Van Ginkle coming on strong, Baker playing well, our defensive line playing well other than pass rusher. So I think it just came on so quick that they were like, it's now or never. We're going to get guys this free agency, build our offense, try to get a few guys on defense to build depth and get this thing rolling.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think obviously the cap, where it is this year, you're going to see a lot of other veterans cut as well. Like maybe if the cap didn't have to come down so far thanks to COVID, maybe we would have kept him another year. But also if you look at, Like you said, Van Ginkle the year before, Vince Beagle, like we've gotten really good production for pretty cheap at the linebacker position. So I think Flores is thinking, Greer is thinking, maybe we can use those resources elsewhere if we're getting such great production with the system that we have at linebacker. Maybe we can use those resources and try to get a truly elite pass rusher. I mean, I think what's great about Van Noy is he's pretty versatile. Like, he can play inside, he can rush the passer on the edge. But he did rush the passer on the edge more than really anything else. And we can certainly upgrade that. Like, he got half of his sacks in one game against the Bengals. Against a terrible offensive line. So I think we could find hopefully try to find a truly elite edge rusher. And then maybe in the middle, for like more of a Mike stack linebacker role, we can find someone who can not only play the run. I think Van Noy was great at that, but he wasn't very good in coverage, though. So I think maybe we can find someone who's a little better in coverage, maybe in the draft. I know there's a lot of great options there. I don't think we would get rid of Van Noy with someone in mind for the draft just because we don't know who's going to be available. I think there's enough options there that Flores is going to be enticed by that we can feel comfortable moving forward without him. But like I said, it's a wait and see to see how it all plays out. Like, we don't know how it's all going to come together, but I think there's a plan in place. We wouldn't have done it without a plan. I think we're in win now mode. The rebuild is, like, obviously we're trying to finish it this off season with all of our draft picks, but we're not making any choices trying to win in a future season. Like, we're win now mode. So I don't think we're going to make any move that we think is going to set us back a season.
Right.
So let's just trust the process for now and see how it plays out.
Remember, everyone's freaking out about Raekwon McMillan getting traded to the Raiders. They were concerned, like, oh, he's our starter and our linebackers played excellent without him last year. Yeah. So
we did feel it for like the first week when we like stopped the Patriots at all on the ground. Like, we needed like a little thumper to like fill running lanes. But as the season wore on, we didn't miss him at all. Like, clearly we want someone who can play all three downs. We don't want someone who has to come off on passing downs. Mm-hmm. Just how Flores wants the system to be. Someone who can rush the passer, coverage, and play the run. And there's going to be plenty of options in free agency. Obviously, too, I think, like, with the cap situation the way it is, there's going to be a lot of veterans that hit the market that weren't expecting. So, like, maybe we're trying to, like, prepare ourselves to, whether it's a linebacker or another position, be ready for that and, like, be ready to pounce on somebody that hits the market that came out of nowhere. So, yeah.
There's some teams like the Saints. They're in some crazy bad cap situations right now. So, there's already reports that it's going to be just an explosion of guys. You're just like, wow, I can't believe he got released. So,
yeah, exactly.
But for other news, Jalen Waddle, he joined teammate Devontae Smith in the opinion that Mac Jones is better than Tua. Now, I know we said last week it was just noise when Devontae said it, but that's two guys in a week. Is there something to it?
You know what? First off, no, there's still nothing to it. It's still. I saw that, you know, the chain reaction again on Twitter, and it's just hilarious. Like, the I just the things that people fish for. You know what I'd like to hear? Why don't we ask? Like, why don't they turn around and ask Judy that question? Who's the better quarterback? You know, why don't they ask who's the other one? The other wide receiver?
And
yeah.
Ruggs.
Why don't you ask him? Let's switch roles. Because I'm tired of, like, the Tua bashing. It's just, I mean, it's funny, but it is annoying. Let's turn the question around and let's ask the other guys. Let's see what they say. Obviously, they didn't play with Mac Jones. I understand that, but you guys get my point. Situations are reversed. It's, you know, same thing. If Tua's coming in, that's your boy. Like, you're going to take care of him. So.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, like, if Mac Jones was so good, he probably would have started over Tua in 2019. Like, Tua started over Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts was a really great college quarterback. And you know that wasn't easy for Saban to put the younger Tua in over Jalen Hurts. So if you ask Saban who the best quarterback was, I think his actions tell you that it was Tua. Like, obviously the jury's out on Mac Jones. I don't really see what the hype's about. I don't see him near as good of a prospect as Tua was coming out. But, yeah, I'm not going to panic or anything what they say. I think it's tough for Tua. Like, he's getting it from all sides right now. Media, a lot of people are calling him a bust. See Chris Sims. He's laying into him. Mike Florio and Pro Football, whatever it's called, Pro Football Talk, yeah. He's hearing it from his former teammates. He's hearing it from saying the Dolphins might trade for Watson. Like, what did Tua do to everybody, man? Like, has a rookie ever had to go through shit like this before after 9 starts where he was, I mean, by rookie standards, I mean, obviously he didn't set the world on fire, but he was decent.
It was average.
Given his situation. It's just shocking to see all the noise that has gone into this. I know it's a combination of people just being bored with COVID.
It's getting clicks.
It definitely is. It's a unique set of circumstances for sure. But like I said, if there's a such thing as bulletin board material, if like that leads to some motivation, like Tua is going to be ready to go. Like if it's leading to him training harder, studying film longer, I think you're going to see the most motivated player in the league next year. If he is who I think he is as a player, I know some guys that might hit their confidence and they might kind of fall apart, but if Tua is who I think he is, I think it's going to lead to lighting a fire under him. And I think you're going to see a player with a chip on his shoulder in year two. But we'll see how he responds.
I know, like a couple of weeks ago when I was saying he was average, like that was bad. But now it's like when I'm saying he's average, I'm on the good side at this point. Everyone's just piled
now,
on
now him. I think Trent's starting to get it now, the defensiveness. Because people just have some, it's just some of the things that they're saying. I mean, I don't want to make this another Tua segment, but it is legit wild. It's every day. That Chris Sims is, that dude is a joke. Like, did you see the quarterback list he just came out with, where he took, it's just incredible to me. So
yeah, we fit into it. I feel like he's kind of going for the controversial opinion, right, to get the most, right, clicks. And I think we all like go crazy, like, oh, I can't believe he said, right, that. So it kind of motivates him to continue to do so.
While Tua is just working out in his
birthday. Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about his, opinion of Tua.
So we're going to talk about our pending free agents going into the market. We're going to play a little game called Resign or Reject. I'm going to list off a free agent on the offense, and you're going to tell me if you want to re-sign them or reject them. So first name, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Travis?
Reject. As much as I hate saying it, everyone loves Fitz. I know he's the, you know, he's a fan favorite, and but reject. Not only just that's not even just like a, I'm saying I want that. I think that's just me saying he's done. I mean, we got rid of his OC, and he wants to start. I mean, he wants the starting position. Yeah, that's not happening here. I mean, and you know,
I don't think it's happening anywhere.
I can't imagine. I know he's gonna try, but. I mean, you know who Fitzpatrick is, so it's, but I mean, kudos to him. I mean, he still wants to play. It's a no for me, dog. I'm good. Bring a different backup in. It's Tua's time. You know, then he doesn't really have to look over his shoulder, anything like that. It's Tua. He can win the games. We don't have to hear about it after the games. We don't have to hear about it during the offseason, because that's part of the mess that everything, not complaining about the mess, because we still got 10 wins and, Fitz helped us with some of those, but Let's see. Let's see if, like we've said, we want to see, and we think we know what he can do. Let's see it. So put the ball in his hands, game on the line. Let's see him do that. Let's see him bring it back and us not, have to give it to Fitz.
Yeah, I don't really think it's up to us. I think he's going to find a place where he can at least compete for a starting role. I wouldn't mind him coming back, to be honest. I think he's a good locker room guy, good for the culture. Him and Tua love each other. I think they have a great relationship. I don't blame him for going to look for a starting job, and it's probably what he should do. I think he's still on that borderline, like bottom five starting quarterback, where he could start for a handful of teams. So might as well keep doing that until he can't anymore. So good for him. I'll be rooting for him wherever he goes.
Yeah, I would probably say reject for the same reasons Travis said, but if he came back, I wouldn't mind. Let's move on to Matt Breida. Cody, what do you think?
Yeah, there's really no chance he's coming back. I think we were all pretty optimistic about him when we got him in the draft. We traded like a fifth round pick for him.
Yeah,
he had some good tape in San Francisco, but like their system is just built for running backs to go off. Like he has some speed, but there's clearly something that's not clicking. Like Flores, I don't think he ever was a huge fan of him from the moment he came in. Like he had opportunities to get carries. He just didn't see the field that often. Had a couple moments. I forget what game it was. He had a decent game. Whether it's just not being reliable as a blocker, a pass catcher, or just not seeing the holes, like can't get by on speed alone. And I think he just was clearly one of the worst running backs on our roster. Gaskin and Ahmed were clearly the better options. So Yeah, he gone.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I mean, you can just basically say, you know, Gaskin and Ahmed beat him out, and I mean, just stop there. You know, he's got speed, like Cody said. He's definitely has some speed. You know, our O-line wasn't the best. We're young, but I still don't think, you know, the fact that Gaskin beat him out, I mean, you really, there's no excuse there. So, it's especially depending on the price. I mean, I'm sure a team, you know, might pick him up for, you know, the minimum, but, nah, it's a no for me.
Yeah, it's a no for me too. He's fast, but I mean, he's not breaking tackles left and right to get to the open field. He doesn't really have great vision. He's just a great athlete. That's about it. So let's go with DeAndre Washington, another running back. I think this one's going to be a quick one.
No for me. I mean, it was, I think, and even when we signed him, it was, you know, I mean, the roster was what it was. So we were kind of just, our offense was so just blah. You know, when we picked him up during the season, it was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe he's with the Chiefs. But I mean, he just is what he is. So no, no for me.
Yeah, yeah, it was a low risk situation bringing him in. Like, we were desperate for running back help. We were pretty depleted at the position. The injuries and the COVID list. And
then we cut Howard. We just needed,
yeah, exactly. So, I thought, I mean, he showed a couple signs of being someone a little tougher between the tackles, between what we had. But at this point, I would rather just, at least for depth purposes, roll with, like, an undrafted guy. Like, you never know, you might hit on somebody like that. So, I think at this point of his career, I would not have him come back. No.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm just get some fresh legs in there and see what they can do. We already know it. We saw what he can do, and it wasn't anything special. So, all right, let's go wide receiver, and let's go Isaiah Ford. We traded them to the Patriots for a seventh rounder, and then we ended up with him right back.
I'm good. I'm good on the Ford train. I still see in my head, I still can see the Bills game, and it was just the most... That was aggravating. Just that game alone was aggravating. You know, the only reason we really brought him back again, like you guys said, with Washington, was just because the lineup. I feel like if it wasn't for that, he'd still be on the practice squad. So no, I'm good.
Yeah, it was not a situation. We were just desperate at the end of the year. Receiver was depleted too. Someone who knew the playbook brought him back in, and he was pretty terrible. I mean, in the Buffalo game, he had a couple really bad drops that just killed any possible momentum we were trying to build. So, yeah, the whole position needs a makeover. So I would try to start fresh as much as we can, and he would not be a part of my plans going forward.
Yeah, I'd say back to the practice squad maybe, just to have him there, and then if we ever need him as a desperation, which hopefully we wouldn't, but not for our roster there. All right, let's go center Ted Karras. What's your thoughts, Cody?
This one's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For continuity purposes, like, I wouldn't mind having him back, but I do think we could be in position now. We have a little more cap. We'll get to this a little later with some of our free agent targets, but I do think there's someone out there that we could have a huge upgrade from Karras. He was decent, like, he wasn't anything super special. One of the most frustrating plays of the season, I remember during the Chargers game, we were driving, getting ready to go up 21-0, and he just threw the ball to his feet, and, like, brought it back to their 20-yard line. It was like a game out of nowhere, and we were going to run away with it. So that left me with a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth. But other than that, he was decent. It's not anything special. And I think if we want to have a elite offensive line, if the rookies take the next step, I think we could look at either in free agency. Like I said, we'll talk about some candidates for that later. And a couple guys in the draft, too, that I like that maybe we could replace him with. But I would, if we can't make the upgrade in free agency, I'd bring him back because we can't rely on people in the draft being there. But so I won't be disappointed if we bring him back, but he could definitely be upgraded.
Yeah, this one, I've kind of gone back and forth. I know I've seen a couple places. I believe it's Sport Track was saying that the contract that he could be getting, or what they'll be asking for because of his worth, would be $9-10 million. If I'm the Dolphins, I'm not paying that. I mean, you could get, if you're gonna do that, you might as well pay a couple more million and, you know, get an elite center that's a little bit better than him. But if we were gonna get him for like $5-6 million, And like I said, it would also depend on with the free agent market, you know, who is actually going to be, which like Cody said, we'll get to that, who actually will be available, who gets, you know, franchise tagged, who gets re-signed, anything like that. If worst case, we did need to bring him back and we could get $5-6 million, maybe try to get somebody in the draft, you know, that would be the better option for me.
Yeah, I don't see him going for $9 million.
I read it today and I couldn't believe it. I was like, there's no way he's worth $9-10 million. Like, I can't.
Yeah, if that's the price, I'm out. Like, I'd rather have Michael Deer play center and draft somebody, compete with him to play the position than play $10 million for Karras. But I, with the cap situation the way it is, I don't know what his market will be. So I would think closer to 6-7 at the most. What are your thoughts, Trayton?
Yeah, if we can get him for cheap, I'm good with him coming back. Even if we get him for cheap and then we draft someone and to replace him next year, then that's fine. But I would rather try to get some of the guys we're going to talk about here and really upgrade the position, try to make our offensive line a strength instead of a weakness like it's been the last 10 plus years.
And it's, you know, a 25th, we were ranked 25th running up the middle. I mean, yeah, so... Yeah. Not great.
He's serviceable player, but he's not special at all. Yeah.
Good backup. What about Mac Hollins?
Wide receiver. No.
We don't need to. We need to explain this. Here's what I'll say about Mac Hollins. I think it's kind of disappointing because I think he's a very good special teams player, and he's a tremendous blocker. Yeah. Like, if you remember back to the Raiders game, that Gaskin touchdown, that was all Mac Hollins. He had an incredible block on that play, sprung that. Mm-hmm. Long touchdown that made that a great game. But if you're going to take a roster spot at wide receiver, at some point you got to catch the football. And he didn't do a lot of that. I mean, he was just really bad. I mean, I remember the Raiders game, he had a bad drop. The Patriots game, he had a bad drop. The Bills game, I think he had a couple drops. About the only ball he caught was that crazy Fitzpatrick throw.
The bread basket falling down.
Right.
Like a punt. There you go.
But... yeah, exactly. So I would definitely move on. Like I said, it's a shame. I think he'd be a good fifth or sixth option to play special teams and be a good high effort guy. But no, not with those hands. I mean,
yeah, we don't need
lack
him.
Of
redo exactly. The whole position.
Yeah, take your boxing gloves and just get the hell out. And God, so yeah, no, absolutely no.
So with the news we talked about earlier, Van Noy getting cut, it seems like nobody's safe out here. So we're going to look at some guys that could possibly be cap casualties on offense. So we're going to start with Albert Wilson. Now, he didn't play last year, but in the past he's made some electric plays, but we could save about $3 million in cap. Would you want to cut him or keep him?
I mean, best case, and I mean, this is, I mean, perfect scenario for me. I'd like to possibly restructure, but I would definitely like to see more of him because he definitely was a solid receiver for us. So even if we couldn't, you know, restructure, like I said, that'd be best thought in my mind. I'd still like to bring him back. I'd like to see more of him. I think he helped our offense tremendously, even though, you know, we're going to make moves in free agency. We're going to make moves in the draft. I still think he helps that wide receiver room.
I would cut him. I mean, I agree that he's kind of appealing because I remember back in 2018, Gase's last season, he had a great start to the year. Like, he had so many explosive plays. Then he had that bad hip injury. And then 2019, Flores' first year, I don't think he was quite the same player. He just never had a full season of great production. I mean, he's the type of player that if he was up to his potential, back to full strength, we could potentially use because he's a speedy guy, can play slot, can play, be a gadgety type player who could do a lot of things for us. But I think we just need a fresh start. And honestly, with him opting out, as unfair as it is, I mean, it was a pandemic. I don't blame him, but I just think the unit moved on without him, and probably we want to add a fresh face to the mix and save a little money. And I think with Parker and Preston Williams and Lynn Bowden Jr., I think those are the three guys that we'll keep at the position. I think we have three roster spots, probably a receiver. So if we're going to sign somebody, maybe draft a couple guys, I don't really see a spot for him. So, yeah, I would cut him. I mean, it's a little bittersweet because I think his potential was never fully realized. But just time to try to remake the room a little bit.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. And with the year off of football, we don't know what kind of football shape he's in right now. Like, taking a year off of football, your body gets used to it, like, taking the hits week after week and the grueling season. So who knows what kind of shape he's in. I'm sure he's still super fast and an elite athlete, but I would just like to redo it all. Not all of it. Keep, like, Devontae and stuff, but...
Yeah, yeah.
So let's go on to a guy on the roster, Jakeem Grant. We could save about $3 million as well if we cut him.
Keep
Travis,
it. I'm gonna
I think you have
bang the table. He's my favorite receiver on the team. No, I'm just kidding. Travis,
if,
tell us how you really feel about
that. Would have been your answer, like some of the people on Twitter. I would probably have came through this screen and just strangled you with my hands that I can use. Cut him. Yeah, without a question. I don't even want him on special teams. We've seen enough. I mean, and it is when you do bring up, you know, when you do bring up special teams, you know, he has had some explosive, some explosive runs. He's had some nice returns that we can remember, you know, and think of. I'm like, wow, that was really a great one moment that he had. But I mean, overall, everything else is bad. So no, please get rid of him immediately.
Yeah, he had every opportunity to become a great player. He just had so many drops, whether it was the Bengals drop onto his long ball that was put right in the breadbasket. He had a bad drop in the Chiefs game on the first drive that Tua threw an amazing pass on down the middle of the field. I remember the Raiders game on a little crossing pattern he had. Like, he had 40, 50 yards he could have gained. He had a ton of room. He, like, bobbled the ball. And then, like, the corner that was chasing him had time to come get him. And they had a three and out. Like, there's just so many instances where, the opportunity was right there for him to establish himself as our go-to speedy receiver. He separates a lot. He can get open. But he just can't catch the football, which is just a shame, especially with the value he brings as a punt returner. But, yeah, like I've said before, we just need to – we need a fresh start. And Jakeem Grant should not be a part of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the number one job for a wide receiver is catch the ball. Like, it's great that you're fast and you can break away, but you got to be able to catch the ball consistently and not tear our offense down and make us want to, us as fans, want to kill ourselves for dropping a long one. So
that was a
so many third. I remember so many third downs where it could have, you know, it could have helped the drive. It's just, oh my gosh! Like, I don't know what some people see, but yeah, restart.
And how much of the narratives change if Jakeem Grant makes some of those catches? Like, if he made that catch in the Raiders game, maybe he gets a huge game and go down and score a touchdown. Maybe Tua doesn't get benched. If he catches that ball against the Bengals, the whole Tua can't throw the ball deep, that narrative kind of goes out the window. Yeah, it was just frustrating for Tua. You got to help him out as a rookie. And
yeah, I think Lynn Bowden can even get on special teams even, or draft someone late who can play.
You can put someone else
return kicks and stuff. Yeah, we could find someone. I'm not worried about
it. And as
that.
Great as that is, like, it doesn't happen as often anymore. Like, kickoffs, yeah, returns aren't really a thing anymore. So, like, maybe you get the one or two punt returns, but to have someone on the roster just for that chance, like, I'd rather get someone more consistent at actually playing wide receiver.
So last one we're going to talk about, Jesse Davis. Now, cap savings, we can save $2.5 million now, but if we designate him for the post June 1, we can save $3.5 million. What do you think, Cody?
I don't think he's particularly good, but he is versatile. So as long as he's not coming back as a starter, I think I'd keep him unless we find someone in the draft, maybe like a potential replacement for him, maybe like a Robert Hainsey, someone from Notre Dame, someone who could play every position along the offensive line. I think he's just too valuable as someone who can step in if someone gets hurt, whether a tackle, he played guard, he played center even. So just his versatility, I think I'd bring him back unless we can find someone in the draft.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He, you know, looking back at some of his grades and prior games, he was so hot and cold. I mean, he'd have one game where it was like, you know, no QB pressures and no QB sacks, and he was, you know, ranked up there. And then you had other games where you're just like, what is he doing now? And whether that, you know, depending, you know, obviously it changes from, you know, the who we were playing, you know, all that. I understand that. But yeah, I mean, I'd still, this is another one I've gone back and forth on. And for the price, I would still probably bring him back just to have depth. You know, he, like Cody said, he did stay healthy. He was, you know, he was available. You know what you're going to get from him. So, yeah, I'd bring him back.
I probably would as well. I would think about it, but I would probably bring him back as well just because we have such a young O-line. We need just a veteran guy who can teach the young guys, like, what to look for here. Because I'm sure he's got a great mind because he's been all in every single position. Like, you have to be smart to be able to process that information and know, like, where you're going. So for him to be able to do that and then just teach our young O-lines, that way they can mesh, have a veteran guy to talk to, I'm all right with that for one more year.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So let's go position by position now on the free agents and break down. So we're going to just give you guys a few guys we like. So, Cody, who's your favorite wide receiver in free agency?
Ooh, that's a tough question because I could go my favorite wide receiver or I could go my favorite fit for the Dolphins. I'm still a little unsure if we're going to go for one of the big fish, like that top tier, Allen Robinson, Juju, Galladay from the Lions, some of those guys. Just because I look at what we have on the roster, and because Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, I think, are going to come back because they're great value for what they can provide. I think I would personally go after a more speed threat, a guy who's better fit for the slot. So my favorite wide receiver in free agency would be Curtis Samuel from the Panthers. He's a guy who I think we could get a lot cheaper than some of those top-tier guys. And I think he just is a better fit for what we currently have. Just someone who can separate. Like, he had one of the better separation averages in the league. I think, like, almost 3 yards every route. You look at guys like Parker, who averages like 1.5 yards per separation, which is like one of the lowest in the league. I just think we need someone who can win early, get open for Tua out of the slot. He can also be a gadgety type player we can give handoffs to. I guess my only thing is, would we get someone else kind of like in the Lynn Bowden mode? Because he's kind of that same player who can run the ball, can play slot. But I don't know why we couldn't have two of those guys. Yeah. Two guys who have speed, can get open, who have some yak ability. I think that's what we need too. Someone who can get yards after the catch. Because we really have none of that right now on our current group of receivers. So I would personally would stray away from like an Allen Robinson, even though I think he'd be a huge upgrade over Parker. But at the same time, I think I'd be fine if we got Allen Robinson then traded Parker maybe, but I think for the value we have in Parker and Preston Williams, I want to add some speed to our group. But that's just me. I understand. Maybe want to go for the best receiver available. What
yeah,
do you guys
I mean,
think?
Allen Robinson would be great, like you said, with the roster. And I think from what I've read, it sounds like, you know, the Bears are obviously going to try to get a contract done with him. If they don't, they'll probably franchise tag him. So, you know, you kind of start looking down further down the line. You think about Big Ben. I know with the Steelers re-signing him today, you almost wonder if Juju goes back and they try to run it back. You know, so, yeah, they have some problems. But I wonder if, you know, they try to do something with that situation. I don't necessarily know if I'd want Juju anyway. So I figured Cody would say Samuel. He likes him a lot. You know, he's a good route runner. Like he said, we could use him in the backfield. He hauled in 18 third down receptions. You know, to conversions. So he was, I think, 13th on the list for that. So he is definitely one that I'd agree I would take him. But I'm gonna be a homer. I wanted him early on in the season before the trade deadline. I wanted him, and I'd still take him. I would take Will Fuller. I'm not saying that just because he's a Notre Dame guy. You know, the stats speak for itself. I mean, He was, you know, we watched him in college. He was a great player then. He's, you know, he stayed. He's still a great player. And I think with the I hate bringing this up, but the 6-game suspension that he had to end the season, you might be able to get, you know, I think money-wise too, we might be able to get a very good playmaking wide receiver for, you know, not, you know, a little bit of a discount. So, you know, he's a deep threat guy. I mean, like I said, you go, you know, look at the stats. I mean, him and Deshaun, that was his go-to. So I think he'd be a nice option for Tua. He's a good route runner. You know, we could use him in the slot. He's so versatile. So that'd be my guy. Yes.
He's a burner, but he's going to miss the first 2 games of the season.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, with Preston Williams and Devontae Parker being so so many injuries with those two, would we bring another injury prone type player? Like, that's, I like Will Fuller a lot. Like a
downfall.
But, yeah.
He stayed healthy this year, but is that because of the PEDs?
Don't do that to him.
Right.
But he will be missing the first 2 games, I believe, because of the suspension still. Because I think he only missed like 4 weeks last year. Right. He had a 6-game suspension. But my favorite is Chris Godwin, but I'm just going to be short on him because I'm pretty sure Tampa Bay is going to use the franchise tag on him. They talked about it, but he's a big boy. He plays really big. He's not as big as like Mike Evans, but he plays big and he gets open. But I think the Bucs are going to re-sign him. They really like him. Coach Arians talked about him. But my number two is Curtis Samuel for all the reasons you said. So I'm not going to go into detail about that because you pretty much explained it. And he's only 24. But my other one was Allen Robinson. I like him. I really like him. When I watched his tape, he found holes in the zone. He gets open on man coverage. He's pretty unguardable. He's just had to play with Blake Bortles, Mitch Trubisky, and Nick Foles his whole career. I feel bad for him. But he's not a burner. If we got him, I would want to pair him with like a Jalen Darden later in the draft, or even pair him with Waddle. I mean, just go full out for Tua and his weapons. I'd be fine with that too. But yeah.
Well, it says
I'd be all right with that. And
he's gonna command about $20 million a year.
Yeah, I know, that's the only problem.
It's not my money, so I'm not like, if we get him, I'm not gonna complain.
That's why he was my number three, because the money that's a lot.
Like you said, his numbers. I mean, the numbers he's put up with the QBs he has. I mean, it's impressive. But yeah, just the money, the roster situation. You know, I would have said the same thing. I would have said he would have been number one. Samuel would have been number two. So I definitely don't disagree with you. It's just, yeah.
That's another point for Samuel as well. He hasn't had great quarterback play, but it's still, like last year, 800-some yards, another couple hundred yards rushing. Like, he's been very productive with subpar quarterback play. So,
and not to mention
another guy who's probably on the rise. He could probably get for a great value.
Not to mention he had DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson in front of him too. So he was the third option in that offense even. So, and an under the radar guy I like, he's not too under the radar, but I like Kenny Galladay. They call him Baby Tron. He's a freaking nature. He burns guys, he's big physical. I wouldn't mind him either. But
I feel like he'd be a bigger name if he wasn't in Detroit.
Marvin Jones.
Andy was injured this past season.
Did you take Marvin Jones?
I wouldn't go Jones. I don't know. I don't know if he's a great fit. It's because he doesn't really have a great separation average either, and he's obviously a little older.
Yeah.
If we were going to go an older route, though, I did see a projection that said we were going to sign T.Y. Hilton for 1 year and $6 million. Like, T.Y. wasn't really on my radar because he's 31 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think we probably want to go a little younger. But for that price, I would consider it because I think we're going to get a couple rookies in the draft, and just to have a veteran presence in the wide receiver room. Like, we saw what happened in Denver. Like, they got a couple young rookie receivers and they didn't really pop off right away. It might take a little bit of time for our rookie receivers to hit the ground running. So to have someone who can produce on a short-term basis, and he's a South Florida kid, so he might want to come back for a discount.
And no sales tax.
I would consider it.
Or no state tax.
Yeah. We always got that at our
I was kind of, like, you said that perfectly, because I was kind of thinking the same thing. That's why I kind of went with the choice that I did, because, yeah, I mean, you think about it, the Dolphins are probably going to, I mean, we don't know, but if they do end up taking in a couple wide receivers like we plan on in the draft, I mean, that's a perfect, you know, T.Y. would actually be perfect, like you said, with his age, and we definitely need an older guy and a leader in that position. And that's an excellent point.
All right, let's move on to O-line. Travis, who's a couple of the guys?
So, I said this, was it the first episode? Jeez, we're on like number three now. I'd go with my guy Joe Thuney from New England. I haven't changed my mind on that. I mean, again, he can play center. I had said that, you know, that was kind of one of the important the important positions that I wanted to fill. I think he would fill that. He'd be a great center. We could still draft a center, a younger center, and kind of learn from him and work under him. But then because of his versatility, injuries are going to happen. Now, obviously, I wouldn't want to move him, from center. Best case scenario, I want to keep him at center. But it just gives you that option. It just gives you that that versatility where if we feel more comfortable with someone else at center, we can move that person at center. You can do so much with him. So I'd still stick with him. That's still my guy. I know everyone's big on, I can't think of his last name, for the Packers. I kind of haven't even really engaged it. Yeah, I haven't really engaged it because I feel like it sounds like they're trying to, again, I think they have a horrible cap situation too. So I don't know how they're going to get it done, but I know that was on their, him and Jones, they're trying to get those two. So I kind of just stuck with that.
Would you want to release our boy that we talked about earlier, Jesse Davis? Since he's so versatile on the O-line, would you want to release Jesse Davis?
Kind of plays, I guess, with my answer. I would keep Davis if we had Thuney. And that's what I said. I think I think in all of our heads, we kind of have this this idea, whatever our, whatever our picks are, it's because we want to see this happen or because this can happen. And, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
I've said it, I know, way too many times now, but there's just so much good and there's so much optimism that can happen with the situation we're in. I mean, there isn't really a bad move in my eyes. I mean, I know there's some, but like the situation we're in, there's just so much we can do.
Yeah, I mean, if Joe Thuney wanted to play center, I would, because he's done it in the past, I would totally be on board with that. I'm just not convinced he's going to take a deal and play center when he's been so good at guard, been an all-pro guard in the past. He's probably looking to his next destination. He probably wants to continue to play guard. Like, if we convince him to come in and play center, I'd be all for it. But for me, like, you brought him up, Corey Linsley, he's probably my number one target in free agency. He's one of the best centers in football. Great run blocker, great in the pass pro. Like, I think he would, if our rookies take the step we think they're going to, I think Corey Linsley would arguably complete our offensive line and really rebuild that unit. We were one of the worst in the league, and I think if we get Linsley, we could be one of the top 10 at least, hopefully soon. I just think he would be a great piece and exactly what we need at center. So I would do it. Another guy we consider, if the Bills let him go, which would be dumb on their part, in my opinion, is Darrell Williams. He had a great season for Buffalo. He's a 28-year-old right tackle. Previously, before he went to Buffalo, he was a mixed bag. So he kind of went off in his one season with the Bills, which is maybe a red flag that he only had one great season. But I think he's going to be a little cheaper, maybe at like $7 or $8 million a year. So I would totally consider that. Like we said before, Robert Hunt is potential. He did a great job at right tackle as a rookie, but I think his ceiling is higher inside at guard. So if we can get a right tackle, potentially like Williams, and then move Robert Hunt inside, that might be the best situation for offensive line. So I would consider if the Bills let him go. Like I said, that's might be a long shot because he was so good for the Bills last year. And I know a lot of people like to credit Diggs for Josh Allen's emergence, and I think he had a lot to do with it, but he just had so much time to throw, and I think Darrell Williams is a big part of that. So I would definitely go after him if the Bills let him go.
Yeah, I agree with you. Corey Linsley was my number one. I think he's the best center in football. Kelsey's pretty good too, in Philly, but I think he's the best. But my number two would be Brandon Scherff. He's the guard for Washington. I think he's a top five guard in the league. Like, he's 29, so he's getting up there in age, but you get him for 3 or 4 years, get him with the young O-line, and then because we're going to have to replace Eric Flowers, we're probably going to cut him next year anyway, so we're going to need to get a guard and get a veteran guy in there. So he was my number two. And then one sleeper that I saw was Taylor Moton. He's similar to Taylor Lewan last year from the Titans, I think. I don't think he's as good, but he's probably a top 15 tackle, I would say, at right tackle. And I would love to get him for the same reason you said, move Robert Hunt, move him back to guard where he could be a all-pro player. And there's no guarantee Sewell is even there at three if we want to go tackle. So just get your guy in free agency and move on. So before we give any takes on the running backs, I just want it to be known, I don't believe in paying running backs.
We know. He doesn't like taking them at 18.
I'll go first. But we've just seen time and time again of guys falling off a cliff and with their production after they've gotten their rookie or after their rookie contracts have finished. And unless it's like AP in his prime, Dalvin Cook or Henry this past year, I just want to pay running backs. But my number one is Aaron Jones. He's still young. He's 26, and he wasn't really used a lot with the Packers because they had a plethora of good running backs that they just went in and out with. But I think he's the best talent on the market, but his price tag is probably going to be too high for what I wanted. So
let me play devil's advocate. I know it's not popular. Dolphins Twitter isn't a fan of it, but I think signing Aaron Jones wouldn't be as bad as y'all are saying. I think if you look at it in a vacuum, yes, I think there's going to be people you can find in the draft on day two, on day three, who are going to produce that you can get for way cheaper, obviously. So if you just look at that, compare Aaron Jones to what he's going to do this season compared to some rookie that comes out of nowhere and produces like they always do, yes, it makes sense to get the rookie. But if signing Aaron Jones allows us at 18 to get an elite defensive player, so we don't get Najee Harris in the first round, if we get a Micah Parsons, if we get a Zaven Collins, you have to look at that in combination with the signing. I think we want the flexibility in the draft, and I feel like we value draft picks way more than we value cap room. Like we just saw with Kyle Van Noy, we're willing to pay him for $15 million for a year and then get rid of him for $4 million in dead money. Like, I think what we really value to build this team is draft picks. So I think using a first round or pick 36 or even pick 50 on a running back for Chris Greer maybe is less than ideal. So if we can get Aaron Jones, one of the best backs in the league, yes, he's 26, but I think he's still got plenty left in the tank. Like you said, he wasn't overused in Green Bay. He averaged 5.5 yards a carry last year, 25 touchdowns in his last two seasons. Like, he's a very good running back. I understand the reasons why you don't do it, but if we get Aaron Jones, the sky's not falling, guys. Like, our running game is going to be drastically improved. And yes, if we can get a pass rusher or another receiver, like, I'd rather that money go there. But to me, I think getting Aaron Jones would be a big improvement for our running game.
Yeah. And if you haven't noticed by now, I kind of prepared knowing who they would go with. So I went with other people who aren't, you know, they're not on the top of the list because I knew they'd kind of cover it. So I'm going with other options that are a little bit down further the line. You know, I view Aaron Jones, running back is I'm kind of like Trayton. I'm not the same as Trayton, but I'm close. You know, I'm not as extreme. I'm willing to draft Najee at 18. The re-sign, you know, when we went over who would re-sign, there's a reason why. I don't think we need to re-sign any of those running backs because we need an RB1. So my view on free agency is kind of the same as draft. I mean, with signing a running back, sure, it's uneasy. You know, the running back gets the ball. The running back gets the ball a lot. You know, but you take, just like I would take the best player on the board in the draft, I would also pay the best player that's available. So, you know, Does it make me, you know, in most situations, does it make me uneasy paying a running back? Of course. But you, when you watch his tape, I mean, he's a playmaker, you know, lightning out of a bottle. I mean, the dude can, you know, you give him the ball and next thing you know, he's in the end zone. But I, because I kind of figured you guys would touch on him, I actually went with James White. And again, I mean, that goes back to who I want to draft. I want Najee. I'd like us to take Najee at 18. So in my head, and because, you know, I kind of knew you guys would touch on him, I would want to draft Najee at 18. That's our RB1. But I would, you know, for free agency, I wouldn't mind picking up James White. You know, that's another, you know, that's a Belichick guy. You know, he's, we could use him out of the backfield. You know, and he'd be a good little RB2. And then you could kind of sprinkle in Gaskin wherever. I don't know. I mean, I know we've had discussions about Gaskin. I think Trayton likes him. Cody probably likes him a little bit more than me. I like him, but I still, I wouldn't mind getting James White and putting him as RB2. So it's just me.
Yeah, he's 29.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I said. Like, it depends on it depends on what you want to do. I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, I want to take, I would take Jones, but I mean, that's just me. I want Najee.
One guy I'm actually kind of interested in getting would be Chris Carson. He's a big bruising back, and he's only 26, but he's dealt with injuries in the past. But I think pairing him with like later round running back like ETN in the second, if he falls to like pick 50, or even Javonte Williams or like Kenneth Gainwell in the third, I think it would be a like good tandem at running back. Get the power and then get a more speed guy. But
he would be cheaper than Jones.
Yeah, he would. I wouldn't want to pay anything over like 8 or 9, I don't think. But you give him 8, I think, is the good number. Like, get him the Melvin Gordon contract. Maybe a little bit less because he wasn't as good as Melvin Gordon and he didn't stay as healthy. But
yeah, we'll see how the market shakes out with everyone in cap trouble. Will Aaron Jones get $11 million a year, or could the Dolphins get him for $8 or $9 million? So
that's that. I was gonna say that is going to that. Yeah, I mean, that also, it depends on that and how the money things plays out. I mean, if you're gonna if you're paying for RB1, obviously, you know, you want to get Jones, but I don't mind. Oh, you know who else? That's what I just forgot. I was gonna say this. I would have said Kenyon Drake, but it's kind of like we probably should have not released him anyway. But I mean, I would welcome him back with open arms. But that's another one that just I wish we saw Drake. He was he's not coming.
I don't think he's coming back, buddy.
Back, but it's that was one when I was looking at the list. I was like, man, I was like, that's one that shouldn't even, he should still be with us. But and then we wouldn't have to have this conversation with the position that Trayton hates so much.
Yeah, for me, if you can get an elite guy like Jones, it might be worth it. But if not, I'd rather just go to the draft instead of trying to get some like 25 plus year old guys. Because you, like Trayton has said before, you can find guys late in the draft. You can find guys, undrafted guys, who can come in and produce as rookies. So I'd rather just go young if we're not going to get Jones.
But if we would sign a free agent running back, I think Greer would structure the contract where we have it out after 2 years, maybe even a year like Van Noy's. So I think we'll be good either way.
Not either.
I'm not too worried about it. One underrated need that I don't really see many people talking about is backup quarterback, with Fitzpatrick likely leaving us. So let's just give our favorite one or two little brief summary. Cody?
I think probably my favorite backup, probably Andy Dalton, just because he had a pretty decent year with Dallas, even though situation wasn't the best. But I think he's probably going to be a little too expensive for what we're probably going to want for a backup quarterback. So my favorite probably actually be Tyrod Taylor. I always thought he was a little underrated, maybe just because when he was in Buffalo, he always lit the Dolphins up. So I just remember that. But he was kind of done dirty in L.A. with the Chargers, so he might be hungry for another chance to back up somewhere, back up Tua. So I wouldn't mind bringing him in, depending on where the money's at.
Well, that was going to be my guy. Awesome. I was going to say Tyrod Taylor. We need a backup. You could take one, I guess, in the draft, like in the later rounds. But he would be a good, I feel like Tyrod would be, I mean, especially coming from the Chargers where they kind of did him dirty, like Cody just said. And, you know, backing up Herbert, you know, come to Miami, be under Tua. You know, I think he'd be a good presence for Tua. And, yeah, that's who I would go with.
Yeah, we need a guy that's not going to, like, threaten Tua, and but also going to, like, be there to cheer him up and pep talk him, give him pointers. And I think Tyrod's the perfect guy for that. I mean, the dude was stabbed at
stuck
the
around
with the Chargers. You didn't hear a peep out of him. That's the ultimate team guy right there. But if we can't get him, if he's too expensive or he goes somewhere else, I wouldn't mind Jacoby Brissett either. He won some games with the Colts, and we have a good enough defense where if we needed him to come in because Tua gets injured or whatnot for a game or two, I think he could come in and win games. Because he's a big back. He's a big... You could run it with him, and he's not the best thrower, but I wouldn't mind him. Also, one thing I just saw while I was looking at the free agents, RG3 is 31. That's crazy.
How'd that happen? I'm getting old.
I know, it seemed like just Trayton. Yesterday he was winning the Heisman.
Trayton's still young over here, and just throwing out age for Cody and I. That's awesome. Jeez Louise.
So, that's it for the pod, but before we sign off, we're going to read off a review of a listener that they left. Words with Friends is Fun says, quality guys and quality fun. Number one podcast for all things Miami Dolphins. Fins up.
Thank you, Words with Friends. It's I wonder fun. Who that was. If it was Taylor, shout out to you. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for that review. We appreciate it.
We have to have the highest average now.
And how can you say anything bad about us? We're so nice, and you know, we just give such great takes.
But if you want to like and subscribe, leave us a review, and we might read it off just like we read off that one. Go ahead and do that, and you can follow us on Twitter. We're Three Guys in a Pod. The letter or the three, it's the number three, not spelled out. And all of our ads are listed under the bio. So. Until next episode, I'll see you later.